God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for everyone who is here. I thank you, God, that we can come together, that we can encourage each other, that we can be built up, that we can remember who you are and what you've done for us. We thank you, God, that we can bring our burdens to you, our hurts and our pains, our losses and our grief. And right now, we just pray especially for this young man's family who lost their son this week. We pray, God, for his friends who lost a friend this week. We pray for his teachers and all those who knew him, God, that you would be close to them, that you would give them comfort. We pray this in your name, Jesus. We pray for this situation, the first responders who were there, God, that you would be with them. For people who witnessed the accident, God, give them peace. We pray, God, that you would bring healing and comfort into a very painful and very sad situation. In your name we pray. Amen. Good morning. The past few weeks, we've been talking about character under construction. And most of you know this, I'm sure, but character isn't something that just happens. It's something that's developed over time. It's developed over experience or through experience. And it's not always a given, because character is developed by the choices we make when we go through those experiences and when we go through those difficulties, when we even go through good things. Character is developed in us. I remember working with one very wise man, and he said, I never hire for skill. I always hire for experience or for character. Character, he said, skill you can train, character you can't. You can teach people the truth, but they still have to make the decision whether or not they're going to apply it to their life. And that's what character is. Character develops when we apply truth to our lives. And so today we're talking about the importance of knowing the truth of who we are and the truth of what God has done for us by looking closely at our heart. So today we're looking at Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 27. We're starting with verse 20 to 22. My son, give attention to my words and incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. So my first question is, are you paying attention? Are you paying attention? Throughout Scripture, we're reminded time and again the importance of the heart, and I'll get back to that in a second. But I wanted to just focus for a second on paying attention. Are you paying attention to godly wisdom? Now, this is just to make sure you pay attention this morning. Are you paying attention when people come and share God's word with you? Are you paying attention when you read Scripture? Are you paying attention when you worship? It's important that we don't just let life happen to us. You need to be mindful when you're reading your Bible. I can't tell you how many times I would read the Bible and I would literally go through the page and I'd have no idea what I just read. I wasn't mindful of what I was reading. And so it's important that we focus and we pay attention to God's wisdom and to God's action in our lives. This writer is telling the reader to keep this godly wisdom he's writing down, not just in some dusty old book on the shelf, but to keep this wisdom in his heart, in the midst or the middle of his heart. Imagine for a second if I had a magic calculator. And this magic calculator, I could punch in the date, and as a result, it would punch out the winning numbers to this week's lottery. $19 million could be yours. Now, if I told you I had the winning numbers to that lottery, how closely would you listen? If I started to whisper, would you lean in closer to hear what I had to say? The thing is, God's word, the Bible, and his involvement in our life is more valuable than $19 million. And I know for some of us trying to pay off our mortgage, that's kind of a tough pill to swallow. But I'm telling you right now, his word, his involvement in our life, our relationship with him is life to us when we have that relationship. And so it is more valuable than $19 million. We need to be mindful. We need to pay attention to God's wisdom, and we need to keep him and his word in the midst of our hearts, and the result will be life. So, are you paying attention? If you pay attention to God's word, the result will be life. Paying attention is the difference between life and something that masquerades as an acceptable existence, between truly living life and just letting life happen to you. A friend on Facebook was having a tough time making a decision, so she posted this phrase. She said, "Sometimes indecision is a decision in itself." And some people were like, "No, it's not." And obviously, they kind of knew what was going on with her. I had no idea. But I reflected on what she said, and really, it is. If you don't make a decision, if you don't take action, that is a choice. You are allowing life to happen to you. You are not taking action. You are not making a decision. You are leaving things just to the whim of other people and the action of other people. So pay attention. Be mindful. Jesus himself warned us about sitting on the fence, about being lukewarm instead of hot or cold. He said, "I'll spit you out of my mouth." That's pretty dramatic. If we're not paying attention, though, that's exactly where we end up. We end up on the fence. We end up lukewarm. We end up milquetoast. Boring. In all honesty, quite boring. Because we're just letting life happen. We need to pay attention. Verse 23, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." Watch over your heart with all diligence. My grandma used to say, "Too much introspection can be a dangerous thing." It's because I get a little too introspective sometimes. But she also would say, "But failing to know yourself can be just as deadly." Guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep vigilant watch over your heart. Above all else, guard your heart. We assign different parts of our body to different levels or areas of consciousness. A lot of times we associate logic and thought and will with our head, and we associate emotion and feelings and all that with our heart. But in Jewish wisdom literature, there is no delineation. It is all one. A more accurate translation of heart here would be gut or core, the center of who you are. The person, the who of who you are, is represented by the word heart here. Just as one muscle, that one center muscle in your body, your heart, pumps blood through your body, giving oxygen and other life-giving nutrients to every area of your life, to all your extremities and everything in between, so too our heart, our core, gives life to our spirit and to everything we do. It is the foundation of all that we are and all that we do, and everything flows out of the heart. This is reiterated through Scripture, Matthew 6:21, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Luke 6:45, "A good man brings out good things from the good treasure stored up in his heart." Matthew 15:18, "Out of the mouth the heart speaks." Even when Solomon asked for wisdom, he asked for himself to have an understanding heart. It is something that comes from the depth of who you are. Your heart is too important to set it and forget it like Nana's turkey. You can't just make one decision and think that, okay, that's enough. Get on with things. You have to pay attention and you have to be vigilant. guard your heart. On August 4th, 2014, one of the biggest environmental disasters to hit BC happened. And some of you might know it and some of you might not. It took place at the Mount Polly mine up in the Cariboo. It was very significant. So I'm going to ask you one more time. What state is your heart in? Listen carefully. What happened at the Mount Polly mine was awful. It was awful. This mine had built an earthen dam. Basically, they pushed large amounts of soil up and formed a dam from the soil, and they held a tailings pond. So basically, all the mine waste from processing, I think it was gold and nickel, they poured into this pond. And there are government regulations as to how much water can be held in the pond. They have levels that they're supposed to check and all these different things. The problem was they were putting out more water than was actually being treated and sent out back into the streams and rivers. The pressure was building. On August 4th, the dam gave way, and over 24 million cubic meters of mine wastewater was spilled into the small creek, Hazeltine Creek. And this might sound like not a big deal, but Hazeltine Creek fed into Likely's Township, it fed into Polly Lake, it fell into Quesnel Lake, eventually went into the Cariboo and Quesnel Rivers, and eventually would lead to the Fraser River. The Fraser River is our major waterway in British Columbia. There are heavy metals that come from a mine. It's very dangerous. It's bad for salmon. And at the time, there was a drinking water ban. There was a bathing ban. You couldn't use the water for anything. You weren't allowed to swim in the lakes or the rivers. Nothing. This is the dam after the breach. They said it was equal to 2,000 Olympic pools spilling into the waterways. To give you an idea, the Hazeltine Creek was 1.5 meters wide before the spill, and after the spill, it was 150 meters wide. And it's easy to look at this situation and think, oh, well, there was too much water in there. A week before, there had been a breach in the mine or in the dam, and they had tried fixing it. But that wasn't what the problem was. You see, sometimes we treat our hearts kind of like this dam. We appear to be keeping things under control, all the while our foundation is shifting. You see, the reason why the dam broke had nothing to do with the breach, and although they were exceeding the government regulations on the amount of water that could be held in that tailings pond, that was not the reason either. The reason why that dam broke was because it was built on clay and silt. Sometimes our hearts are on shifting foundation. We need to be paying attention to what's going on in our hearts. Like I said, a week before the disaster, they had detected a breach, too much wastewater in the tailings pond and too much pressure on the dam. The dam had been built over a layer of clay and silt, and just like the foolish builder constructing a house on the sand, disaster was imminent. The same reasoning that was negligent in paying attention to the warning signs, to the violations of government guidelines, the lack of response to growing stress being placed on that dam, was the same negligence that went into building the dam in the first place. The foundation is the first step in a pattern, and character is developed by pattern, a pattern of choices that you make. So don't be negligent in building the foundation. Guard your heart. What are the signs that your heart needs attention? What are the breaches in our hearts? I can share personally what my breaches are. Not my breaches, but the breaches in my heart. And they're going to be different for each one of us, because each one of us have weaknesses in different areas. But I'll tell you right now, one of the ways I know that my heart is not where it's supposed to be, where my foundation has shifted and my focus isn't on God, is when I start to experience insecurity. when I start to question or double-think everything I do. I get focused on myself, on my possible failures or my real failures. I get focused on those little things instead of focusing on God. Another sign is I start to get short with people. I become harsher, harder in different situations. I'm less merciful, I'm less forgiving, I'm less compassionate, I'm less kind. So if you feel yourself becoming those things, you might have a breach and you need to be paying attention. You need to be mindful and vigilant. I find it easier to lose my temper when I haven't been focused on God the way that I should be. And when things are really bad, I start to lose hope. So be mindful. Pay attention to the signs that your heart needs to be reset. Often we focus on the behaviors, on stomping out what we are doing wrong. We get caught up in what we do and troubleshoot sin like we're playing whack-a-mole. But in doing so, we're allowing ourselves to become distracted from the real danger, the state of our core, our heart. Our hearts are unguarded, and instead of focusing on what we're doing, we need to recognize that there's only one way to reset our hearts. Only one who can do it. We need to turn to God and allow him to change our who. And you'll see that he will change what we do. And there's comfort. You need to know that you are never far gone, too far gone. Our hearts may be broken, they may be tarnished, they may be so hard that we think no light will ever break through, but in God's hands there is healing and restoration, and there is life. God speaks to his people time and again in Scripture. He says, your hearts are far from me, but if you hear my words, and you listen, and you turn back to me, and you repent, I will forgive you. I will restore you. I will heal you. And why does he say this to his people? To me and to you. He says this because he loves us. And he wants us to have a full, rich life. We need to be paying attention. And we need to be quick to reposition our hearts and set it on God. Once our hearts are set on him, once we are ready and aware, standing guard, we move forward in action. Just like a fresh spring pours out life-giving water, we will bring life to everything around us. The words we speak, the actions we take, and the love we exhibit will all flow out from a heart that is set on God and his wisdom. A heart in right position before God is an active heart. A life that is following God is proactive. You move forward. We no longer wait for life to happen to us. We move out. We take steps to guard our heart's position. And instead of thinking, how close to the edge can I get before God says no? We simply look to become closer to God every day. We make the most of what God has given us. We don't waste it on inane, unproductive behaviors. Put away from you deceitful mouths. Put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil. These actions come from a core fixed on God and his word. Our eyes look directly ahead, straight at him. You know, I had this dream when I was a kid. I always wanted to be a gymnast, and for those of you who know me, you probably think that's pretty goofy, but this is the thing. I don't have very good balance. I really don't. In later years, I started taking, fitness yoga, so I would do stretch and strength and all these different things, and I can remember them helping me with my balance, and they said, this is one of the tricks to keeping your balance. It's to pick a spot on the wall and focus on it. Don't move your eyes from that. You stay focused and it will help you keep your balance. It's the same thing with God. We keep our eyes focused on God. He helps us maintain balance. He keeps us on track. He keeps our feet on the right path. We have to stay focused on him. We have to keep our eyes on him. We watch our path not in fear, but with diligence. And as we do, the path, the right way, becomes more and more clear, and we stay on course. I was thinking about, you know, these different actions that are listed here in verses 24 to 27, and I thought of it kind of like an army. You know, an army goes into battle, and they're on the battlefield, and when they start to take ground, they make sure that that ground is guarded. They dig trenches. They take the time to dig trenches. They take the time to put up barbed wire so they don't have to worry about losing that ground. These actions are the trenches and the barbed wire. They keep us from losing ground. When we pay attention to the state of our heart and we start taking action and moving forward in our lives, focusing on God and his word, we will not lose ground. And when we do, he helps us take it back. The message puts it this way. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless banter, white lies, and gossip. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all sideshow distractions. I don't know about you, but it's really easy for me to get distracted, especially when I watch the news. Oy vey. Politics, the arguments, everything, it can be distracting. So instead of being distracted by that, get focused on this. And it helps you stay on path, on target. Whenever we talk about staying focused, I always think about that scene in Star Wars. You know that one where they're flying? It's like, stay on target, stay on target. Always, that is always playing in my mind, stay on target. But we stay focused on this, we'll stay on target. We'll stay on the right path. Watch your step, and the road will stretch out smooth before you. Look neither to the right or to the left, and leave evil in the dust. So pay attention. Listen to God. Check your foundation regularly, and realign routinely before you have a breach. If you find yourself in a place and red warning lights are going off and you have a breach or two or three, take a deep breath and remember it's the foundation that needs attention, your heart. If you find yourself needing to refocus on God, get into his word, work on your relationship with him, spend time praying, spend time listening to him just in the quiet. Allow him to transform you and reconstruct who you are. Do not be distracted by what you are doing wrong. The result will only be shame and fear. Focus on him and keep your eyes straight ahead, and he will strengthen you and he will give you life. Everything that comes out of you, your words, your attitudes, your actions, they will flow from a heart, a core that is aligned and in tandem with God's heart. As your who is transformed, your do will be transformed too. Keep vigilant watch over your heart. That is where life starts. And be on guard above everything else. Guard your heart and then move forward into the full life that God has for you. God, I thank you so much for your word. It is life-giving. It builds us up. It transforms us. It corrects us. It reminds us of your love and your goodness and your greatness, your forgiveness and your mercy. And it reminds us that you want us to have full life. It reminds us that you do have good things for us. God, please help us to remember to keep our hearts set on you. Help us to guard our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen.